Hello, my name is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, December 29th, 2020. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. At the top of the page today, we have a story, Health Officials Probe COVID-19 Outbreak. And this is a staff report. Danville. Vermilion County Health Department officials on Saturday reported several hundred new positive cases of COVID-19 that occurred between November 14th and December 23rd. There were 519 new cases, some of which are linked to a virus outbreak at a congregate living facility in Vermilion County. Of the new cases, one person was in their 80s, two in their 70s, 29 in their 60s, 59 in their 50s, 99 in their 40s, 135 in their 30s, 103 in their 20s, and 91 whose ages are still being confirmed. Of those 519 cases, 72 have been released from isolation, and 447 are active. The outbreak investigation is ongoing, health officials reported, and the numbers are expected to increase. The newly reported cases brings the county to a total since the pandemic began in March to 5,353 positive cases, 810 of which are active. The death toll from COVID-19 remains at 74. There are currently 39 COVID-19 positive Vermilion County residents that are hospitalized. Health officials say they are awaiting an initial shipment of COVID-19 vaccine, which is expected this week. The county still expects that the health department will begin offering vaccinations in early January using state-provided phases for recipients. The first phases will involve health and medical personnel and related fields. The second phases will include first responders. Health officials reported that the state's mobile COVID testing team will be at the health department 2 days this week, on Wednesday and Thursday. And our other top-of-the-page story today is also another COVID story. This is from Capital News Illinois and is by Raymond Troncoso, and it's entitled Illinois COVID-19 Death Toll Hits 16,000. Springfield. While the number of new COVID-19 cases and people hospitalized in Illinois continue to decline, the state's coronavirus death toll has surpassed 16,000. An additional 105 deaths were reported Monday by the Illinois Department of Public Health. That brings the total COVID-19 deaths in Illinois to 16,074 among 942,362 cases and more than 13 million test results reported. The IDPH on Monday reported 4,453 new confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 in Illinois. Statewide, the rolling 7-day average case positivity rate from December 21st to December 27th was 7.2%. That is 3/10 of a percentage point lower than the 7-day average case positivity rate reported on December 23rd, the last day IDPH released COVID data before the holiday weekend. That makes 1 week of rates below 8%. At the end of Sunday, there were 4,243 people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Illinois, a decrease of 350 from December 23rd. There were 884 intensive care beds in use by COVID-19 patients as of Sunday night, a decrease of 69 from December 23rd. That left 840, or just over 25%, of ICU beds available statewide. COVID-19 patients occupied 515 ventilators, a decrease of 21 from the Wednesday prior to the holiday weekend. That left 4,205 ventilators, or 73.7% of all ventilators available for use across the state. More than 112,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered in Illinois since the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were approved for emergency use earlier this month. On Sunday, President Trump signed a bill granting $900 billion in COVID-19 aid, which includes a direct payment up to $600 to some Americans. The bill also includes funds for vaccine distribution and boosts in weekly unemployment benefits. Next up, we have behind-the-scenes steps. Carl Project pushed back to late 2022. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Construction on the Carl at the Riverfront project was delayed from starting this year, and the new anticipated opening date is late 2022. According to Carl officials, because our team was deployed to focus on our COVID-19 response, the original completion date has been revised. The approximately $70 million project continues to move forward, including traffic signal changes on roadways surrounding the project. There are a number of behind-the-scenes steps taking place now to keep the project progressing. We had the remaining demolition to complete, a design phase in progress, and then preparing the site for construction. That's when the community will start to see equipment being staged and the contractor mobilizing, said Nick Crompton, Executive Director of Facilities, Construction, and Planning earlier this month. During this time, where Carl is focusing on resuming services in the safest ways for patients, officials are taking the opportunity to assess what may be needed for the future site, understanding that care delivery will evolve as a result of what they're learning through COVID-19. There may be some enhancements to the facility plan, and that is being evaluated now. The two buildings that still had remained this month to be demolished were the single building on the east side of Logan Avenue, and then to the west, the building attached to Leon's Diner. Leon's Diner is staying. We'll continue to make any necessary adjustments to the site plan as necessary. Demolition has been slowed by Carl's COVID-19 response. You'll begin to see new activity in the coming weeks, according to Carl officials earlier this month. The overall design and project scope remain unchanged, but the timeline for construction has been adjusted. They are currently in the design phase and expect that to continue for 5 to 6 months. Then they'll be working to prepare for a groundbreaking. Groundbreaking is estimated for summer of 2021. Carl officials said they are in the final stages of selecting a contractor. Carl is continuing with the necessary street work to relocate stoplights and sidewalks along Gilbert Street. They anticipate finishing that portion of the project in early spring, weather dependent. According to Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., a rough project timeline is now through January 2021, finish road widening on the west side of Madison and Gilbert Streets, and finish redesigns of Logan, Madison, and Chandler. For January to February of 2021, Carl hosts virtual town halls to provide project updates and get public feedback on design elements. March through May of 2021, final site design will be completed and road work resumes as weather permits. For summer of 2021 groundbreaking and fall of 2022 through winter, Carl at the Riverfront begins serving patients. Carl's Danville Multi-Use Medical Campus will provide greater healthcare service and convenience to those who need care the most. It will also revitalize the community as one of the largest investments in Danville in 50 years. This site will spur revitalization, meet strategic healthcare needs with close proximity parks and walking, riding pathways, and make this area a destination, according to Carl officials. While Carl's COVID-19 response has slowed our Carl at the Riverfront construction schedule, our commitment to the Danville community has not. This pandemic has shown an even greater need for health services for the region, and the creation of this wellness campus is critical to increasing care for patients. The health needs in our community are great, and we're here to help ensure they are met, said Heather Tucker, Carl Hupston Regional Healthcare Hospital Administrator. Carl will consolidate its North Vermilion and Fairchild Streets facilities and ambulance service on Franklin Street for the medical campus. The campus is forcing the closure of Logan Avenue near North Street. The project is generally bounded by North Street on the south, Gilbert Street to the east, and Madison Street on the north. The project includes the elimination of traffic signals at Logan Avenue and Main Street, and Gilbert and Harrison Streets, and adding signals at Gilbert and Madison Streets, with the realignment of that intersection to straighten out the jog as much as possible. And we're going to go ahead and turn now to the obituaries for Tuesday, as there are quite a few of them today. And the first is for Edward Lovett. Edward O. Lovett, a devoted Jehovah's Witness, died on Thursday, December 24th, 2020. He was 82. There will be private family viewing on Wednesday, December 30th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. Edward's truck will be parked in the funeral home parking lot on display on Wednesday, December 30th, from 1 p.m. until the following morning for those who wish to drive by. A Zoom memorial service will be hosted by the family at 6 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday, December 30th, 2020. Elizabeth Bromley. Elizabeth Ann Bromley, 97, of Danville, passed away at 10:25 p.m. on December 27, 2020, at Heritage Health in Hupston, Illinois. A private family celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, December 31, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, at 3940 North Vermilion Street. Greg Taylor will officiate. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery, and visitation will be from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, December 30th, at the funeral home. It is kindly requested that those in attendance of the visitation or service wear a mask and practice social distancing. Memorials may be made in Elizabeth's memory to the Resident Activities Fund at Heritage Health in Hupston, Illinois, or the Parkinson's Foundation. Carl J. Thompson. Carl J. Thompson, 91, of Oakwood, Illinois, passed away on Thursday, December 24th, 2020, at the waters of Covington in Covington, Indiana. A celebration of Carl's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, December 30th, at St. Mary's Catholic Church at 231 North State Street in Westville, Illinois. Officiating the service will be Father Timothy Sopp with Father Bowman Schmidt co-celebrating. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to services from 10 to 11 a.m. at the church. A Catholic rosary will be prayed at 9:30 a.m. prior to visitation. Masks and safe distancing will be practiced. Carl will be laid to rest at the Lithuanian National Cemetery on Klingon Lane in Westville, Illinois, with military rites. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made in his honor to the Westville American Legion Post 51 Honor Guard or St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville is assisting the family with his arrangements. Linda Watson Miranda. Linda S. Miranda was welcomed home to heaven on December 12, 2020. A celebration of life will be at a later date. Special thanks to the staff of the Addison of Pleasant Prairie in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Carol F. Weir. Carol Francis Weir, age 95, of Danville, passed away at 10:38 a.m. on December 20th, 2020, at Pleasant Meadows Nursing Home in Chrisman, Illinois. A private family service is being held on Tuesday, December 29th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Anne Alexander. Anne H. Hershberger Alexander, 63, of Hillsboro, passed away in the St. Vincent Williamsport Hospital following an extended illness on Wednesday, December 23, 2020, at 10:17 a.m. Friends may call at the Mouse Funeral Home, Hillsboro, on Wednesday, December 30th, from 4 to 8 p.m. Services will be held at the funeral home on Thursday, December 31st, at 11 a.m., with Pastor Gary Johnson officiating. Burial will follow in the Rose Hill Cemetery in Hillsboro. All people in attendance will be required to wear face masks and keep social distancing. Linda Dietzen. Linda Ellen Goni Dietzen, 75, of Danville, died at 2:02 p.m. Thursday, December 24, 2020, at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon, Illinois. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, December 31st, at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville, Illinois, with Father Bowen Schmidt officiating. Burial will follow at Resurrection Cemetery. IDPH guidelines will be strictly followed regarding gathering limitations, masks, and social distancing. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association, Danville Symphony Orchestra, or an organization of the donor's choice. Nancy L. Mellon. Nancy L. Mellon, 80, of Danville, passed away on Wednesday, December 23, 2020, in Burlington, Wisconsin. A private celebration of Nancy's life will take place at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, December 30, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. A public visitation will be held prior to the service from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the funeral home. Nancy will be laid to rest at Gundy Cemetery following the service. James H. Rutledge. James Harvey Rutledge, 81, of Covington, Indiana, and formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away on December 26, 2020. A post-COVID-19 service and celebration of life will be scheduled in the future. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the American Legion Post 210 at 201 Prospect Place, Danville, Illinois, 61832, or the Ileana Skeet and Trap Club at 399 Gun Club Road, Cayuga, Indiana, 47928. Jane Klein. Jane Eleanor Plymer Klein was taken home by the angels this Christmas. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Gifts of memorial can be made to Trinity Episcopal Church in Danville. Doris B. Neild. Doris B. Neild, 88, of Chrisman, and formerly of Danville, Illinois, and Cayuga, Indiana, passed away at 7:17 a.m. on Friday, December 25th, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman, Illinois. Funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana. Officiating will be Pastor John Goldfuss. Burial will be Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown, Illinois. There will be a visitation at 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, January 2nd, until the time of services at the funeral home. Helen R. Lawrence. Helen R. Lawrence, 88, of Chrisman, formerly of Danville, died at 2:20 a.m. on Thursday, December 24th, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Richard E. Robinson. Richard E. Robinson, 82, of Danville, died at 1:57 p.m. Sunday, December 27, 2020, at home. Arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge in Tilton. Judy Walker. Judy Walker, 80, of Catlin, died at 3:26 p.m. on Sunday, December 27, 2020, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robison Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Keith Young. Keith Young, 50, of Danville, died at 5:46 a.m. Sunday, December 27th, at home. Arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. And that's the end of the obituaries for today. We're going to return to the commercial news to a final story that appeared on the front page entitled McDermott Continues to Help on the Go. And this story is by Marvin Holman. Hagerstown, Maryland. Mary Beth Wynn McDermott is away from her family this holiday season, but it is for a major reason. McDermott, from Covington, Indiana, is a respiratory therapist, and she has seen a lot of work in a lot of places this year, starting in March. In February and early March, I was working in Decatur Memorial Hospital. We first heard about it being overseas, and they talked about going to New York, and we anticipated to not hit us because it never affects small towns. But after St. Patrick's Day, everything started to shut down, McDermott said. Our hospital started to open up a COVID unit by closing outpatient surgery, and I started to get texts and calls that they had urgencies in Chicago. In April, I headed to North Chicago, and I took on a 13-week COVID contract. On my first day there, we had about 5 or 6 cases, and on the 10th day, we had 20 in intensive care, and 10 were incubated. It was absolute chaos. A respiratory therapist helps patients who have respiratory problems like COPD or cerebral palsy or any muscular condition that can mess with the respiratory system. They give breathing treatments and help with sleep apnea and CPAP and BiPAP machines. They take blood and check the pH balance and COVID increases in the CO2 in a patient's lungs, and monitor how much oxygen is in the lungs and give out the right amount of oxygen. We have to make sure our patients are safe, and when they are sedated, it helps, so our team is there to help because you have to safely turn the patient onto their stomach, properly place their head to the side so their endotracheal tube can be let go, and it will loosen up the lungs on the back side, McDermott said. It is important to move your patients because they will have muscle atrophy and COVID will build up fluid, so it is important to get the fluid out and to suction up any secretions. We do CPP, chest percussion, and there are some machines that will be able to suction them up as well. McDermott was in Chicago until July when everything started to slow in Illinois, but it set up for some time to take another trip. When I went home, there were only 3 patients in the wing. I went home for a week and a half and saw that Texas had a break, and I talked to my recruiter, and the next thing I knew, I was in Dallas, McDermott said. I was there until the middle of August, and I came back home to help my son to get ready for his senior year at Covington. As the pandemic got going again late in the year, McDermott hit the road again to Hagerstown. I took a little break and stayed at home for a little bit. In November, COVID started to ramp up, and I was getting calls all the time. I talked to my husband and son and said, "It's time to go again," McDermott said. My recruiter had me come to Hagerstown, and I am here until February 20th. It has been a crazy year. Even though she will not be in Covington with her husband Adam and her family, McDermott said they will still be together no matter what. All of us sat down and decided that me traveling is a good option right now. I am not at home all the time now, but I come home on breaks, and I talk to them every night as much as I can, McDermott said. I talk to my mom and my grandma. My grandma is 92 and still drives her car, and my mom is with her and she is 70. I talk to everyone on the phone, and it is different, but they know I will come home, and they know I am stopping COVID. With vaccines for COVID being made, there might be a light at the end of the tunnel, but McDermott will still be working hard to make sure that everyone can get through it. Some people are super excited and some are not. It depends on how many doses the country gets and how many they will have, McDermott said. I know the high-risk patients will have the option for it first, and then it will go from there. It depends on how many take it and how much the virus slows down since it is newer. There will be studies on how long it is effective and how long we can have it. I would stay here until March or April, but it depends on what happens. COVID is still kind of new, and we can estimate things. I just tell everyone to wash their hands and keep socially distant. And our last story is Quincy Veterans Home resident tests positive for Legionnaire's disease. And this is by Sarah Manser from Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. A resident at the state-run veterans home in Quincy is tested positive for both COVID-19 and Legionnaire's disease, according to a news release from the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. The Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs and the Illinois Department of Public Health announced on Wednesday the agencies are investigating the case of Legionnaire's disease in a single resident who tested positive for COVID-19 on November 30th and showed pneumonia symptoms on December 16th, according to the news release. The Illinois Veterans Home at Quincy was notified on December 22nd of the resident's positive test for Legionnaire's disease, which is a severe pneumonia caused by the inhalation of waterborne bacteria. No other residents have tested positive for Legionnaire's disease, according to an IDVA spokesperson. The positive resident lives in Hammond Hall, which had not been previously reported as having the presence of Legionella, the type of bacteria that causes the Legionnaire's disease. Hammond Hall is one of six residential halls at the Quincy facility in Adams County. After the positive Legionnaire's test was reported on December 22nd, Quincy facility staff and officials with the Adams County Health Department spoke by phone with representatives from the Illinois Department of Public Health, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and Dr. Avery Hart, who is a medical consultant for the IDVA homes on behalf of IDPH, according to the news release. On the call, the CDC asked for clean-out and flushing logs, which are part of the water management plan for the facility. All actions by the Illinois Veterans Home in Quincy are consistent with the water management plan following CDC protocols, according to the IDVA news release. IDPH infectious disease staff are working with the facility to collect information and further investigate the resident's illness. And finally, from the community briefs section, we have the following. For Danville, Health Department hosts free testing. The Vermilion County Health Department will host a free COVID-19 screening from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, December 30th to 31st at the VCHD 200 South College. The IDPH has several mobile testing teams that are dispatched to various locations around the state each week to provide COVID-19 testing. Anyone can be tested regardless of symptoms or immigration status. There is no cost to the individual for testing, but they should bring their insurance card if they have one. However, insurance is not required. Specimens will be collected using a simple nasal swab. Drive-through and walk-up. And Illinois State Police District 10 Commander Captain Lewis Kink announced the ISP will conduct occupant restraint enforcement patrols in Vermilion County during the month of January. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, December 29th, 2020. It's been a pleasure to read for you again. My name is Greg, and I hope you have a safe and happy New Year's. Take care.